Iowa LSU the day after. What do? The day after you summit Everest, you climb down a mountain and then you schedule K2. Caitlin Clark has a couple K2s ahead of her with the Final Four as in store for Iowa. And of course, UConn with Paige Becker's big game, Joel Embiid's imminent return, and this DJ Burns and NFL story. Let's go around the horn. I thought this was an April Fool's prank winning across
here in Florida.
It still may be one.
Out of all the mountains.
You NFL people, you need to gobble up everybody. Can we just chill? Iowa LSU, what a ride last night. The game started at level 10 and it was at 12 within seconds, and it kept on building from there. The criticism Kim Mulkey is receiving for having no strategy to stop Caitlin Clark and for putting Haley Van Lith out on an island against her. I mean, what are you gonna do? How many players can guard Caitlin Clark? You can talk revenge, you can talk redemption. Iowa says it was just another win. They needed to get to the Final Four again. You can talk magnitude for a game that felt bigger than a game. Bill Plaschke around the horn to you on last night's results and immensity.
It was Kim Mulkey, you can't guard her, okay? Nobody can guard her. Don't blame Kim Mulkey. Don't blame Angel Reese for getting hurt. This game was owned by the magic of Caitlin Clark. I mean, she's magical. It's the only way to describe it. She has scored or assisted on 71% of Iowa's points. She created as much as she shot. She was unbelievable. Kate had her best game. Sydney Affelder had her best game. Kate Martin had her best game. She created, she made everybody around her tremendous. Scored 9 3-pointers, tied the NCAA tournament record, shot from like 26 feet. She's the most fun player to watch, the most fun champion to watch, and she's and I was going to win.
Whoa, not a champion yet. Hold on a second. A conference champion. But that was not for the championship. They beat the champions, Harry Lyles Jr. on last night, and the magnitude of it.
I just thought it was Caitlin Clark once again showing up in one of the biggest moments and biggest stages that we've really ever seen for the women's college game. And she scored or assisted on 67 of their 94 points. There have only been two performances that were better than that one. One was in 2017 by Kelsey Plum, who had 68. And number one was Caitlin Clark this same time last year against Haley Van Lith and Louisville when she had 70. And to me, this game just really captured what this Iowa team, one, is going to have to do to continue to win, but it's really sort of a perfect encapsulation of their season, because a lot of people saw last night, man, for as much as we love to get starry-eyed over the deep Caitlin Clark threes, she is a phenomenal passer and has an incredible feel for the game. A lot of people, myself included, have questioned the role players on this Iowa team. They have gotten better as the year has progressed, and they have stepped up in this tournament when they've needed to, whether that's Gabby Marshall, whether that's Hannah Stolke, Kate Martin, or Sydney Offelter. They have all come up in big times. And then shout out Lisa Bluter as well, because she has kept this team on track when there have been a number of different things that could distract them over the year, and now they are in position again in a Final Four in one of the great all-time tournament runs.
Israel Gutierrez on last night's win for Iowa over LSU.
Well, last night felt like the biggest Final Four day in women's basketball that I can remember, and it was just a regional final Monday. It wasn't even the Final Four, and so that in itself tells you just how grand this game was. And yes, I too think Kim Mulkey deserves plenty of criticism here. I'll start with, you know, Caitlin Clark is an impossible player to defend one-on-one. The shots that she hits, most people in the game don't even take. You know, whether it's a step back fading to your left and shooting as a right-hander, you know, from 25 feet out, whatever the case may be, it's very difficult to stop her. But you have to sort of pick your poison when it comes to playing against somebody like that. And Kim Mulkey's strategy was apparently all of it. Just give me all the poison. Not only will Caitlin Clark beat me, but so will her teammates. And if you sort of force her to get the ball out of her hands, then you make her teammates beat you for more than just one short segment of the game. It would have to be more often. So I fully disagree with Kim Mulkey that you just throw your hands in the air and say okay, you can't stop Caitlin Clark. But for Caitlin to see what was in front of her, not just take what was given to her and score all those points, but still keep everybody involved. Some of those passes where it looked like she could have pulled up for three and just threw a laser to a cutting teammate, all of that shows you how ready she was for this game, this moment, and this rematch with LSU.
Barnwell.
On one of the biggest stages in the history of women's college basketball, in terms of the audience, at the very least, this was a triumph philosophically for Iowa. They played the exact kind of game they would want to play against LSU. LSU is a team that's going to beat you in the paint. They are more physical. They are stronger. They are tougher than you. Iowa turned this into a shooting contest, turned it into a track meet. This is one of the fastest games you will ever see in college basketball. And it was a game that Iowa played to perfection. LSU did not have answers. They went with the zone. The zone didn't work. They tried man. Man didn't work. They eventually tried switching in like the final 2 minutes of the game. They realized, hey, maybe we should switch all these Caitlin Clark picks so she just can open shots. We have to find something that works. They did not have a solution for everything Iowa did, and it felt like just a philosophical triumph for Iowa and their coaches.
I'll ask you back in.
I know I talked about Caitlin Clark's magic, but remember, Angel Reese did go 2 for 14 after the ankle injury, so she was hurt. They were shorthanded. But they still would have lost, but it was a defining moment when Angel Reese got hurt her ankle at the end of the first half.
More from last night. I want to talk about Angel Reese, and I want to talk about her comments at the post-game podium.
I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down. All this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then.
The question posed by Erica L. Ayala. We've heard raw agony of defeat reflections from players before, and this especially so, but for Reese as well. Such a force of nature and proud in her celebration in her championship last year, Harry. How'd you hear it when she said, I haven't been happy since that championship?
I really appreciated her vulnerability because people really have contorted themselves in any type of way to say whatever they want to say about her ever since they made it to that Final Four and in the days since then. And the hate has come at different types of levels. And that's not to say that you have to love Angel Reese, but the way that people come at her with different energies, it is off-putting. And it usually comes, in my opinion, at least from three different places. One, because she's a woman. Two, because she is black. And three, because people want to go out of their way to hate on women's basketball or women's athletics in general. And so they use her as a vehicle to do so. And so to allow her to come out and have this moment, have this platform to speak out, I thought was brave on her part. But I'm also hopeful that we can continue to call these things out when we see them so that when the next Angel Reese comes around, they do not have to have such a difficult time as she has clearly had with it. Because I thought it was tremendous that she said, I have not been happy since then. That is not something I think that anybody should take lightly.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, it was sort of an example of how difficult it is to be famous today, probably more than ever, specifically for a woman of color in a team sport who puts herself out there boldly and confidently and makes it seem like she can handle anything that comes her way. And up until now, we have seen Angel Reese handle everything that has come her way, and she has stood confidently and just sort of let it bounce off her shoulders. But for those who say, hey, if you're going to dish it out, and I don't know exactly what she dishes out other than normal, you know, smack talk on the court, which you see in all other sports and all other genders, and in the men's game, of course. And so you look at her and you say, hey, she can't handle this? Well, yeah, showing that level of vulnerability is something we need to see so that maybe these folks who have been attacking her unnecessarily and unfairly and say, oh, wow, there is an effect to what I say and to what I do. And for Angel to wait until this moment to sort of let that vulnerability show, I thought was great. And it shows you how great of a leader she was when all her teammates are standing up for her after she stood up for them for so many years.
Sounded like a young woman who needed help and support, frankly. I mean, this is we know that trolls disproportionately are targeting women online, are targeting people of color online, are trying to marginalize people who are getting more attention, getting deserved attention. And this is something that is against the law in terms of death threats. You cannot, in the U.S., send a death threat to someone over the internet. It is against the law, and we don't prosecute it. We don't put a lot of effort to do anything about it. If you look to the U.K., there are Premier League footballers, according to their Online Safety Act, who have gotten death threats that have led to arrests from people who are sending those messages to people. So whether it's the leagues, whether it's the NCAA, whether it's social media groups, like these platforms need to come together to protect people, especially young women playing at the college level.
Bill Plaschke.
This is so sad. I mean, can you imagine that? She hasn't been happy since the national championship. It should be the best year of her life, and it sounds like it was the worst year of her life. That's so sad. It's such a commentary on society. Because what did she do? She did this. Big deal. She did this. Big deal. I mean, what is her crime? None. She's a wonderful athlete, a great role model. There's racism behind this. There's sexism behind this. This is, you know, we all think sports is immune to all this. Sports lives and breathes it. And then this is an example. And it just, it breaks my heart to hear her say this. She hasn't been happy since she won a national championship. That's heartbreaking.
Generationally speaking, this generation, this is yet another challenge to deal with as you grow up. And we're talking about young adults, 20, 22, 23 years old. They live very publicly in some ways. She has lived out loud in many ways. She has posed for Sports Illustrated. She has lived a life of NIL where she is marketing and putting herself out there as a proud person and as a force of nature, as we called her that. And the opposite side of that comes with such force sometimes. And that it should not be just accepted. She should be able to say, I can put myself out there, but that doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want to my image as well. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your thoughts on that. I want to talk about the other game last night. UConn 80, USC 73. Masterclass from Paige Beckers in the return to the Final Four for UConn after what feels like, because it is, years of bad luck injuries. Gino Auriemma said it would take a miracle for it to happen at one point in the fall. And now it has happened, the 23rd Final Four for Auriemma and UConn. Bill Barnwell, the number one thing about this run for UConn?
I think seeing how they've had to rely upon Paige Beckers throughout this tournament. They've had such a thin bench, really a five-person, six-person rotation for the majority of the tournament. And you saw down the stretch, who did they rely upon? Who came through? It was Paige Beckers again. Seven consecutive points, scored in the paint, hit a three, got a defensive rebound, set up an end one down the court, got them up by 9 points. That should have ended the game. It was a little shaky down the stretch for UConn, but Beckers taking over, to me, such an exciting opportunity, such a fun matchup coming up with Iowa.
Bill, I know you had USC in this game. I know you had Final Four tickets, airline tickets already purchased to go cover that on last night's result.
This may be Geno's finest hour, and it sounds crazy to say that, but he's dealing with five players. That's basically all they have is five players. Three of them had four fouls. There's a very real chance in this game that it could have ended with UConn having four players on the court. That's a very real chance. USC didn't take advantage of that. USC didn't drive the lane. Juju Watkins had four shots inside the lane. They needed to attack more. Their inexperience showed. UConn's experience showed.
Aaron Lyles Jr.?
Tony, it feels weird saying this about such a dominant brand in sports, but the resiliency from this UConn team, and in particularly Paige Beckers, stands out to me among everything in this. Because you got to remember, her freshman year, she and Caitlin Clark were going back and forth as, hey, who's the better freshman? I think Paige actually ended up winning National Player of the Year that year. Yeah. She missed half of her sophomore season because of her torn meniscus, then missed all of last season because of a torn ACL. And so she has had to watch everybody else ascend and rise while she has tried to figure this thing out and hope that she can heal to become the player that we have seen throughout this year and in this tournament. And so to me, for her to just get back to this point, to me, stands out above everything else. And as everybody else has said, the fact that they are doing it with such a short bench, and her play style too. Like, she does not avoid contact, and to be able to do that, not just physically, but mentally after an injury like that, to me is super impressive.
Yeah, Paige Beckers, she knows how to win. She may have missed a year and a half, but she's been here before, and that was the difference in that game. USC took some rush shots, maybe didn't put the ball in Juju Watkins' hands. UConn put the ball in Paige's hands. She delivered, and that is what this team is. It's Paige Beckers, it's Aaliyah Edwards, and if those two perform, everybody else follows.
And they don't stop. The dream season in college basketball continues now with a Final Four that has undefeated USC and the Cinderella's NC State, and then UConn versus Iowa. Caitlin Clark got a lot of offers. She waited for one letter in the mail from Gino Auriemma and never came. That's something to look forward to when they meet Friday. Firesell next.
Did you just call South Carolina USC?
Did I?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
In the throes of March Madness, we have a star, DJ Burns Jr. The story you weren't sure was an April Fool's joke or not, though, is where we start buy or sell that the F-150 with better handling on the basketball court, DJ Burns Jr., could NFL teams be interested in him? What? Peter Schrager, NFL Network, said there are NFL scouts, GMs who are interested. Burns was on Rich Eisen's show talking it last week, said he last played football middle school, and that his goal is to make the NBA. But many have pointed out he's not so high on NBA draft boards. Could the NFL really be in play here, Harry Lyles Jr.?
Tony, no. Can we please cut this out? This guy is an NFL player as much as Lamar Jackson is a wide receiver. He just scored 29 points against Duke in the Elite Eight. Why are we trying to kick him out of basketball?
That's just a game with eight teams remaining in a tournament, but we don't say that out of the board. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Tony, if you told me to close my eyes and imagine a 6'9", 275-pound basketball player with good post moves, some girth to him, maybe some pinchable cheeks, and a really good passer, you're talking about Zach Randolph. And left-handed as well. You're talking about Zach Randolph. And he's, what, the tier right below Hall of Fame, whatever that tier is called? Absolutely, DJ belongs in the NBA.
Well, you think he has an NBA career, because going into this tournament, you could say, was it on draft boards? He could be rising. But you think he should commit to his dream and not someone else's fantasy? Bill Barnwell, how about you?
Yeah, you know what NFL teams love to do, Tony? They love to have their quarterback, the most important person in their organization, protected by a guy who hasn't played football since middle school. What are we doing here? DJ Burns is a great basketball player.
How about defensive tackle, a defensive end of some kind?
If he does not make it in the NBA, I want to see him dunking on people all over Europe. I want to see him in Turkey. I want to see him in Spain, all over the place.
And Bill Plaschke.
Bill Barnwell, I doubt you watch basketball in Turkey and in Spain. I think we're so cavalier about this. We're so cavalier about this young man.
Okay,
go ahead.
Maybe he wants to play football. Maybe that's the way, maybe he can make more money.
No. He literally said, my goal is to be in the NBA. I mean, we have that.
Right, but it sounds like he's not going to make the NBA. Let him play football. Let him try it. Why not?
I'm reading here from an article, 2013, that said, could LeBron James play in the NFL? I'm skeptical. That was written by Bill Barnwell. You don't think LeBron could have that carryover? We've had many basketball players carry over to football. You don't think LeBron could play in the NFL, Bill?
There has never been a player as tall as LeBron James in the National Football League. Obviously, he's an incredible athlete. I don't think he could protect himself from low blocks, low hits. I don't think that's why we have players that height at any point in the NFL. Maybe as like a, you know, once a drop.
Give me LeBron in the red zone. That's all I'm saying. We'll move on. Buyers sell to a no-hitter in the first week of the MLB season. Ronel Blanco's first start of the year, of course, his eighth career start. Houston Astros were 0-4 to start the season, so their first win is a no-no. Israel, is a first-week no-hitter more impressive or less impressive?
Tony, let me tell you more about Blanco's first week. He made his first opening day roster. He had a daughter. And now he gives the Houston Astros their first win of the season with a no-hitter. If they go ahead and do their Houston Astros thing, they're going to look back and say, he was the turning point of our season. Give him the MVP. Of course.
Bill Plaschke, how about you?
If this were Framber Valdez, if this were Christian Javier, if this were Justin Verlander, they never would have been allowed to pitch a no-hitter. 105 pitches is too many pitches for the first week of the season.
You would have pulled him.
I would have pulled him in
you
the seventh inning.
You would have pulled him. Oh,
you
got to
think about his future.
How?
And with your
General
organization, you think about his arm.
Bill Barnwell, how about you?
This is a 30-year-old. Didn't make his debut until 28, has like 57 career innings. He's not Justin Verlander. He should be getting an opportunity to have this career moment. And by the way, the Astros were 0-4. He just got them back on the right track.
Larry Lyles Jr.
It's a long season.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about here, man. Since 1876, there have been 323 no-hitters thrown. He just threw one of them. So anytime you can do it, you should do it.
You got to think about his future. You got to think about his arm. You got to protect him.
Bill Plaschke's future is watching.
That's your
showdown.
First goal.
Israel Gutierrez and Bill Barnwell in it. Next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Only time for one showdown, and it's the delay from Major League Baseball last night. Atlanta-Chicago was delayed for rain and then re-delayed coming out of the rain delay when White Sox didn't have their first base coach. Israel, he did eventually come and oddly was putting Purell in his hands. Should the game have started without a first base coach? What do they really do?
I had the first base coach in his normal clothes with a button-down shirt and having to, change into this ridiculous see-through pants and button-down shirt uniform to go back out there and do what? Grab my player's elbow pads and take it back to the dugout? I don't really see the point of that. They absolutely should have just played.
Bill Barnwell?
This is the anxiety nightmare you have if you're a first base coach. The game is starting and I'm stuck somewhere. He had to get back on the field just to avoid being stuck in that awful dream. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, was I delayed there? Bill Barnwell, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Rest in peace to Larry Lucchino, who impacted multiple Major League Baseball franchises. The Orioles and Padres helped them build fantastic stadiums. Came to the Red Sox in 2002, brought a guy you may have heard of named Theo Epstein. They rebuilt the franchise, hired a bunch of nerds. Obviously, I'm a big fan of that. Won multiple championships in Boston, something which seemed impossible. Renovated Fenway Park. Left the Red Sox in a much better place than they were when he got there, as was the case with his prior organizations. Just a guy who changed baseball in so many different ways without ever stepping onto the field as a player. Rest in peace, Larry Lucchino.
Very nice, Bill Barnwell. So,
right on the horn.
He had the renovated Fenway Park, he had Petco Park, and he had Camden Yards. Is that what you're telling me? That's somebody knows how to build a ballpark.
Triplets.
That's some of the greatest. All right, we're done here. Thanks for coming around. We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. Israel Gutierrez, another day. You can't talk about your Florida Panthers. Then why would you want to?
No, this is the Knicks heat tonight.
Talk about this.
The Knicks heat tonight. Everybody pay attention.